Hi, thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Robin Nassif. Robin is a youth theatrical agent at Media Artists Group in Los Angeles. Robin, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'm glad to be joining you.
So I was researching you for this podcast, and I saw that you spent many years as a very, very successful casting director before you shifted and became an agent. You've been involved in casting a lot of really iconic shows like Wonder Years, Twin Peaks, Moonlighting, Full House. Do you think that your background as a casting director affects your work as an agent? And if so, how?
Absolutely. Well, for one thing, I hired a lot of casting directors or was responsible for getting a lot of casting directors hired when I was at the network, supervising all those wonderful shows. So I have good relationships with those casting directors to this day, and that helps me get my clients in on projects. The other thing is, because of my background in casting and the fact that I interviewed so many actors, I know how to prepare my actors for auditions, and I know what to tell them to do and not to do, and I think that's invaluable. I also read every actor that comes into my office rather than most agents who just say hello, meet and greet. I actually give them material, usually a drama and a comedy scene, and that way I know what level they're at and how to guide them and where to send them to class and what level they're at.
Wow. I love that. You're right. That is a lot more hands-on than a lot of agents I've talked with. That is so cool. And it's also really cool that you've got those relationships, because that is certainly not the case with every agent. You know, I'd love for you to take a couple of minutes and just sort of lay out the super basic information about how exactly a talent agency works, because I think there's a lot of people who believe that once you get an agent, you're basically set. Like, okay, I got an agent. I'm I'm good.
Yeah, no, that's,
Right? Doesn't work that way. Can you clarify doesn't do for an actor?
Yeah, I think the best way to go about that is to tell you the difference between an agent and a manager, because there are so many people that don't understand what an agent does and why you need a manager and why you need an agent. Well, an agent is licensed, insured, and bonded by the state of California, and we are governed very, very closely. There are a lot of rules and guidelines. You can't have an agency out of your home, for example. You have to have an agency address and an actual office. The people that work at an agency have to be franchised. They have to be franchised talent agents, and you have to submit a bio to the Screen Actors Guild. You have to be cleared. So it's very, very difficult to become an agent. It's not something that you just can do. Now, an agent is responsible for reading the breakdowns, which is a service that we have that tells us everything that's casting right now in town and out of town. We are responsible for submitting the actors, for pitching the actors to the casting directors. That means getting on the phone or sending emails and telling them how fabulous our clients are. Then we secure the auditions, and then once the actor has gone in on the audition and hopefully they get booked, we negotiate the deal. And that's all we are licensed, bonded, and insured to do. That is our job, and that is what we are supposed to do, and we are supposed to do nothing else. Anything else that we do is icing on the cake. That's where the manager comes in. The manager is there to guide the client in their career, help them decide where to get acting classes, where to get their pictures done, a myriad of things that we just as agents don't have time to do. Typically, an agency will have anywhere from a youth department will have anywhere from 100 to 200 clients, whereas a manager will have 35 to 100 clients. So it's a lot different, and they have a lot more time for handholding, and that's what we don't have time to do. We're just there to actually get that client working.
That makes sense. So do you think, I mean, I've just thought this, and I haven't really sort of tested it out in reality, but it seems to me that it's easier for people to get managers than agents. Is that your experience too?
Yes. And the reason is there are a lot of managers out there that aren't the greatest managers in the world and they don't have the most experience, you have to do your research. You have to find out, go on IMDb, go, you know, do research, Google them, find out who their clients are, ask questions. Who do you represent? What people do you have on series? What people do you have working? Because there's a lot of managers that just hang a shingle out and say, I'm a manager, and they basically don't know what they're doing. So you have to be very careful. We as agents can't do that. We're much more restricted and controlled, but anyone can say they're a manager. So you have to be very careful. I love managers. I work with them every day, but I have had a few bad experiences with clients coming to me and saying, oh, this is my manager, and that manager didn't know what they were doing.
You know, I thank you for saying that, because it's just, it seems to me that the difference, one of the huge differences, other than, you know, what you're allowed to do and not do as an agent, is that it's just so much easier to be a manager than an agent, that there really is a much broader range of capability in the people who call themselves managers. Some are just extraordinary, stellar people. They're so good at what they do, and they're worth their weight in gold, really. And then others are just like, you know.
taking the 15% and not doing a whole lot. That can happen. So you have to be very careful. You know, you have to be careful when you're choosing an agent, too. That's not something you do lightly. You do your research. You go online. You go to IMDb. You look up the agency. You look up the person. Everyone that comes to me, I tell them, you know, go online. Do your research about me. Look me up. Find out who I am. Because I don't want anybody signing with me that doesn't know my background, that doesn't know who I am.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Everybody should do that, you know, but I think a lot of people, they get dazzled with excitement when somebody approaches them and says, hey, I want to manage you. And they're just like, oh my God, where do I sign?
Yeah. And have someone read that contract too. You don't just sign a contract. I had a person come to me the other day and they said, oh, this manager gave me a, you know, 10-page contract and they want me to sign up for 3 years. And I had never heard of the manager. And I said, you know, you need to really think about this and you need to take this to a entertainment attorney and have them look this over, because that sounds very involved for a management contract. And I'm not sure who this person is, and you really need to think about this. So don't sign a contract without having a legal person look at it.
That is one of my mantras, and it really needs to be an entertainment attorney, not like your
brother-in-law.
Absolutely.
Yeah, not a real estate attorney, you know, not a divorce attorney. An actual entertainment lawyer is the best person.
Yeah, because they're going to know what looks appropriate. And also, it even varies, you know, from state to state. So you want to get one that is practicing in the state of the contract that you're signing.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
If you're coming in from out of town, that may be a little harder. Your relationships may be back in, you know, Seattle or Atlanta or something. But you need an attorney who knows what, you know, normal practice in terms of what they're looking at.
Yep.
And then the other thing that I think a lot of people are confused about with the whole agent-manager thing is they're like, you know, I got a manager. Why do I need an agent? Well, managers aren't actually legally allowed to secure work for their clients.
That's correct. They're not even allowed to submit. And some of them do, and a lot of beloved managers are very well taken care of by the casting directors out there, and nobody blows the whistle on them. But there have been many occasions where a manager has secured employment for an actor, and an actor uses that as reason not to pay them commission because they're not legally allowed to do that. So they have to be very careful. It's our job to secure the employment. It's our job to get the auditions, and it's our job. And we love it when the managers help out, but really let us get the auditions and let us negotiate the deals. Mm-hmm. I get very upset when managers go ahead and negotiate a deal without my knowledge. And I've dropped a few clients because managers did that. It's not okay.
No, and they're not licensed to do it. It's actually a legal issue.
You are 100% correct.
So what do you think makes for a great youth agent personally? Because I notice you're a youth agent. You're not just a, you know, you don't take everybody of every age. You specialize in younger people.
Yeah, I was just offered a job at the beginning of my career as an agent. I was offered a job to come in and take over a department where a youth agent was leaving. So that was what I got into, and it was just kind of like fate. I didn't want to be a youth agent, but, you know, I had supervised the casting of Growing Pains, Wonder Years, Full House, Home Improvement, so I knew a lot about kid actors, and I knew a lot about the youth market, and so it worked for me, and I think that what what is important in a youth agent is someone that has a lot of patience, someone that can get along with parents, someone that has kids of their own, or at least nieces and nephews, and they've been around children. You don't want someone that's not children-friendly to be a children's agent. I have two kids of my own, and I think that's helped me immeasurably in dealing with the kids that I represent.
That makes sense. So speaking of being a youth agent, what do you think some of the more challenging things are about being a youth agent in particular, and what are some of the better things?
Challenging things. I don't really, I guess if you have parents that are difficult, I'll give you one quick example. I had a little girl that I represented that I was very fond of, and she had a great potential. And her mother called me one day after I had sent her a pilot audition. And a pilot audition is very hard to get, as you know, Bonnie. They're very hard to secure. And this woman called me up and said, "I'm sorry, but my daughter can't go on the audition." And I'm like, "Oh, what's wrong? Is there a family emergency? Is she ill?" "No, she has a very important play date." So my response was, unless her play date is with Malia Obama, this is not an important play date. This is a pilot. She can go on a play date any day of the year, but pilot auditions come around once in a blue moon. So I dropped that little girl and her mother because it wasn't the little girl's fault, but the mother had no clue how to prioritize what happens in our business. And that just doesn't work for me. I also can't stand it when somebody calls me up and says, "Oh, I can't make it to the audition. My parents are coming into town and they're taking me to Disneyland." Okay, Disneyland is always going to be there. This audition for this project is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You do not turn this down because you want to go to Disneyland. So you have to, you have to choose the parents wisely. I think that's my biggest challenge is finding great parents to work with. I'm very, very lucky to have people like Tenzing Trainer on my list, and his parents are amazing. As your listeners know, he plays Parker on your show, Liv and Maddie, with your adorable, adorable daughter. So I'm very, very blessed to have parents of that caliber and of that class that I deal with. But that having difficult parents is a challenge, and I have to sometimes bite my tongue and just do what I need to do to get on with it. The greatest thing is getting to tell these kids that they have a job because they just shriek and scream and they're so excited. I got to tell, a little boy not too long ago that he got a job on The King and I on Broadway. I mean, this is his dream. I mean, he was so excited. And, telling people that they've got a test option deal and then calling them, telling them the test option deal was picked up and they're going to be on a pilot. And then the pilot gets picked up and they're going to be on a series. Things like that are great. And it makes it all worthwhile.
That just gave me chills because I know what that feels like on the other side to be in the room with your kid when they're literally shrieking, jumping up and down on whatever piece of furniture is nearest.
It's pretty exciting.
It is so fun. Can you briefly explain the difference between a theatrical and a commercial agent? My experience is that, number one, commercial agents are a lot easier to get than theatrical agents, and a lot of people consequently sign with a commercial agent. And then they're surprised and disappointed that they're not sent out on TV and film auditions. Can you sort of walk us through that?
Well, it's pretty concrete. Commercial agents are there to send you out on commercials. Theatrical agents are there to send you out on TV, movies, web series, theater, and the like. So it's pretty clear cut. I always ask my clients that are coming in, do you have a commercial agent? If they don't, I send them over to our commercial department. And if they do, I say, great, so happy for you, that's wonderful. And basically, I don't have anything to do with the commercial agent after that, unless they want to CC me on a job that maybe the client gets so that I know. But I sort of depend on the parents to book out their kids when they get a commercial and let me know. But commercials are commercials, and commercial agents sign a lot of kids because they need to, because you can go on 50 commercial auditions and get 2 callbacks. It's hard. And there's a huge volume of commercials out there, whereas with our product, which is TV, movies, TV series and films, it's much more selective, and it's a much smaller pool, so we have fewer clients. But that's basically the difference. I don't have anything to do with commercials, and they that's what they do. They have tools like Frontier, Casting Frontier, and LA Casting. I have my tool, which is the Breakdown Services and Actors Access. So we're very, very separate.
That makes sense. Thank you for walking, you know, our people through that.
Sure.
So as a youth agent, there's a range of kids in terms of age that you are able to represent. And what would you say the youngest age for a child is that you're willing to represent? Like, do you represent 2-year-olds?
No, absolutely not. I represent kids that can read, basically. My philosophy is when they go in for an audition, yes, they can have everything memorized, but the casting director might come out and hand the mom a script and say, you know what, we've changed it a little bit. Have a look at this, or we want your child to look at this particular part, not the one they came in on. And that child has to be able to go outside and do that. And it's very hard to memorize that quickly, so it really helps if the child can read. So I try to take children that are readers. I think it's just a huge advantage in the auditioning process. I go up to about college age. I have a few clients that are in their mid-20s, and that's because they still play college. And my clients tend to want to stay with me when they get older. They don't want to just run away to another agent because I'm doing a great job for them. I have a girl who's 24. Who just booked the lead in the Melrose Place biopic playing Heather Locklear. She's been with me since she was 17. She loves me and she doesn't want to leave, and I love her and I book her all the time. So why would she leave? So basically I'm kind of open-ended on that end. I sort of try not to sign anybody that's over college age, but the lines are a little blurry.
They are blurry because I think it's got more to do with, you know, what age you can play than what age you actually are. I always wonder if I were a kid who's 22 years old and, you know, just arrived in LA straight with, you know, my BFA in acting from some school, would I look for a youth agent or would I look for just a regular theatrical agent?
You look for the person that's most excited about you. That's another thing that's really important. When people say, what should I look for in an agent? You want an agent that's excited about you and your abilities. And if you see and sense that enthusiasm, that's the agent you should go with. It doesn't matter what their background is, what they've done, but whoever's excited about you, gets you, and thinks they can do a great job for you, and doesn't have a lot of other actors in your category. You need to do the research, and if they've got, you know, 7 other people in your category, that's not the best place to be, because they're going to be submitting 7 people and only 1 or 2 is going to get called in. So you need to be careful about that and make sure that your agent has very few people in your category.
I love that. You know, normally I think actors assume that the agent is going to make that decision, like, oh, I've already got, you know, 4 people in your category, I'm not going to add on a 5th. But that may not be the case, and you could end up being the 5th person or the 7th person in that category and really doing yourself a disservice.
Yeah, I'm very careful about that. I only have 2 to 3 people in every category and sometimes less, but there's a lot of agents that just, you know, they hire a lot of people and they throw a lot of stuff up against the wall to see what will stick, and that's not the kind of agent I am. I try to be very specific when I submit to the casting directors, and as a former casting director, I don't want to waste their time, so I only send in the people that are perfect for the parts.
I love that, and then that feeds back to you because they know that whoever you send them is likely to be a really good bet. So
let's hope.
Well, so if you, and I think you're not alone in wanting to not take kids until they're, you know, basically basic readers, what advice would you have for parents of really, really young kids who aren't that old yet, but who have big hopes that their kids are going to be actors? What would you tell them to do? Like,
I would tell them to get into acting class as soon as they can. You know, there's acting schools all over the place that take 4- and 5-year-olds. I think younger than that, they won't even know what they're doing. But when your child is 4 and 5 and they have a certain amount of focus and they're able to pay attention and enjoy things and give it their best, I would say start them in acting school. There's plenty of acting schools that take little ones all over the place. I'm not here to, you know, give you names of places, but,
sure,
you know, do research and go online and find some of these schools and audit. You know, take your child over there and have them try a sample class. You might have to pay for it, but it's well worth it because you'll know what your child is getting into and you'll know if the child is comfortable at that particular school.
That's huge. And dance is a nice thing for a lot of kids to take at that age, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. And martial arts. I think all kids should take martial arts. For one thing, it helps you get a job on Power Rangers, which is not a bad gig to get. I've had two Power Rangers in the last 5 years, and they've made $100,000 over the year and a half of their tenure as Power Rangers. So it's a wonderful job, and it's a great training ground. And they look for people that have martial arts training, and there's a lot of shows that look for kids that have martial arts training. So I think it's a wonderful discipline, and I think all kids should do it.
I'm so happy you brought that up, because the other thing that makes me think of is, like, a lot of kids who are really intent on becoming actors, all they do is take acting classes, and they may have different kinds of acting classes, you know, every day of the week practically. And in a way, it's like, wait a minute though. You know, actors are supposed to have a broad skill set so that when you get an opportunity to be in a movie where you have to ride horses, you're not on a horse for the first
time.
Right,
exactly.
Or what about swimming pool scenes? Or, you know,
At least singing and dancing. That's so important these days. With the advent of Glee and all these different shows now, it's so important for the kids to know how to sing and dance. And every time a child comes into me, I say, have they had singing background? Have they had dance background? And if they aren't, I tell them to get into it right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also it just makes them more well-rounded human beings and happier human beings. I genuinely worry about some of these kids where all they know how to do is act, and they literally don't have any other skill sets. And for humans, it's like, man, that's just not interesting enough.
Yeah.
Never mind. It'll help them get more work. And of course,
I agree.
Disney,
I think it's great to be well-rounded.
Oh, yeah. You know, it just makes for a better life. And of course, Disney does love their triple threat. It's no secret that if you can, you know, sing and dance as well as act, you've got an edge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
On that network.
That's true.
So backing up a little bit, what advice do you have for people who are just trying to get an agent in Hollywood? You know, the biggest hurdle for so many of us is just getting a meeting with or just getting in front of a good agent, because you guys are busy. You know,
yeah.
and you don't, I mean, when I say you, I mean agents, you know, good agents don't tend to just take meetings with unsolicited talent. So what do you suggest people do to get in front of a good agent?
Oh, that's if I had a dime for every time someone asked me that question, I'd be a multi-trillionaire. There's no easy way to get an agent. I go to a lot of workshops. I go to a lot of showcases. I'm out there looking for people. And if your child is good and they're in a workshop and a showcase, someone's going to see them and someone's going to say, hey, that's a very talented child. I'm not here to tell you what workshops and showcases to be a part of, because that wouldn't be fair. But again, do research, and, you know, you don't need to pay $5,000 to have your kids showcase. There's other ways. There are other showcases. There are other workshops. There are other places to get your children seen. So, you need to get them out there. I think commercials is also a great way to start your kids in the business and get them comfortable and get them acting and get them in front of a camera, and then they have a little piece of film on themselves and you can submit that to an agent. One of the girls that I took that was very successful, she sent me some commercials that her daughter had done, and I loved the commercials and I signed her, and she ended up being a regular on a ABC Family show from just those commercials. So that was fantastic. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to get involved, and there's no one way, but you just really need to get your children in front of agents and managers and casting directors by doing workshops.
Yeah, you know, a lot of acting classes at the end of the series of classes will have a showcase.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Will invite,
that's great. Find out if your acting class does that. I go to several acting schools around and go to their showcases. And, I've found a lot of clients that way. It's a great way to, so that's a question that everybody should ask. Do you have a showcase for industry at some point? And that's something to really consider. I think it's great. I highly recommend that.
Yeah, I do too, because it's kind of a two-for-one. You're getting good training, hopefully. And then at the end of that series of good training classes, you have an opportunity to be seen by someone who may want to sign you. So that's exciting. And it doesn't have to be, as you say, a fortune. That's certainly one way to go.
No. Yeah, be careful. Don't sign up for something that's thousands and thousands of dollars. You know, that's it's just there are a lot of these places that are a little scammy, and you have to be careful. And you know, you just have to use common sense. You know, if you want to get your child involved, you don't have to pay $10,000 to get your child in front of people. And if they're asking you for that, say no.
Say no, because there's other ways. I mean, look, we didn't do anything like that.
And they should read your book to get better ideas, because you've laid it all out, you know.
Well, thank you.
Laid it all out. So
So again, speaking about trying to get the attention of people like you, which is like sort of the mantra everybody is chanting, how to get in front of an agent. Are there times of year that are especially better or worse to try and get a talent agent's attention? Like I talked to somebody recently who was like, yes, I'm going to go to LA for pilot season and I'm going to get an agent. And I'm just thinking, oh,
yeah, no, not what? The right time to get an agent.
No,
it's too busy, and agents don't have time to see new talent during pilot season. We're too busy trying to get our kids in for pilots. So that's not a good time. I would say a good time would be like maybe summer.
Mm-hmm.
Summer would be a great time to look for an agent, because your kids are out of school. You can bring them here for a couple of months and get them involved in showcases and workshops where they can be seen by the people you want them to be seen by. And that's what I would recommend.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really reasonable.
And I don't think anybody should just move to LA because they think their child is talented. You have to be really, this is very, very competitive out here. It's not easy. You can't just go, oh, my child is really cute and adorable, I'm going to move to LA and they're going to become a TV star. That's not how it works. And I think that you cover that in your book.
Yeah, I try.
You do have to be paid. You know, Tenzing was in class for 2 years with his acting coach before he even booked anything. And he worked twice a week. He went to acting class and worked his little buns off until he got something. And that's the way a lot of kids, you know, Jake Short didn't happen overnight. These kids didn't, you know, your daughter Dove didn't happen overnight. These kids work and they go to class and they take acting and singing and dancing. This is not something that happens overnight. And there's no such thing as overnight stardom. It just doesn't exist.
It truly doesn't exist. And the thing is, it's so much work, and your kid is up against other kids who are just deeply passionate and for whom the work is just like, it's all they want to do. That's their competition. So unless your kid falls into that category where like, it's all they want to do.
Yep. They
please,
have to be
please.
Totally, totally indebted to it. You know,
do
they have
something
to be
else.
So into it. Really?
And if they are like that, if they are like, that's all they want to do, well, then maybe it is cut out for them, maybe.
And, Bonnie, it shouldn't be because they want to be famous. I'm sure Doug didn't go, oh, I want to be an actress because I want to be famous. No, she wanted to work on her craft. She wanted to be the best actress, best singer, best dancer that she could be. And that's what she is. And that's what these parents have to understand. It's not about, oh, I want to be famous. That's not a good reason to become an actor. Please don't become an actor because you want to be famous. You will be totally let down. You will be an empty shell. I know a kid that's all he wanted to do was to be famous. And then when he got famous, he didn't know what to do with it. And he became very, very depressed. And he ended up dropping out of the business because it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. The fame wasn't so great. And when he went to Disneyland and all the kids were driving him crazy and coming up to him, he didn't have a good time. And it wasn't what he thought it was going to be. So you have to be careful. You know, do it for the right reasons.
It's fame. Wanting fame is a terrible, terrible reason to get into this industry. And, you know, I can tell you directly, as I know you know very well.
Yep.
It is not all it's cracked up to be. It's got a double edge to it.
It's hard to be famous. You know, nobody realizes that. It's hard to not be able to go into a supermarket and do your shopping without a zillion people coming up to you. And you can't go to Disneyland and you can't go to Target and you can't walk down the street. I mean, literally, you have no life. Your life is your fans. And people don't realize that, and it's a huge sacrifice that these kids like Dove make. And you know, it's worth it because they get wonderful parts and they have a great career, but you also give up a lot, and nobody thinks about that.
No, and it's easily misunderstood because it just looks so glamorous and fabulous. But meanwhile, you know, these kids are also just kids. They're kids, and they have the same needs that kids need, and they need friends, and they need their family. And, you know, when you sign a kid on because you're knocked out by their talent and what they bring to what they do, you're basically also signing on their parents. And yes. And I have seen firsthand, and I know you've probably got some stories yourself, that if a parent mishandles that relationship with mm-hmm. an agent, it can jettison even the most talented, hardworking kid's career, which is tragic to me.
Yeah.
And I know, like, I get a lot of questions from parents who are really anxious, saying, how much communication with my kid's agent is appropriate? Can I call them every day? Can I call them every week?
Absolutely, do not call them every day. That's what a manager is for. If I get an email once every 2 weeks from a parent, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem, but that's really the limit that it should be. The only time I want to hear from you is if you can't reach your manager and you need a recommendation for a coach, or you want me to look at the 10 best headshots. That's the other thing. We don't have time to look at hundreds and hundreds of headshots. The manager's job is to wheedle down those headshots to about 12 to 15 of the mm-hmm. best ones and send those to us. And then because I have 100 clients, how can I look at everybody's headshot? If everybody sends me 100 headshots, I don't have time in the day to do anything. Mm-hmm. So, that's another thing people need to realize, that your agent does not have time to do that. That's why you need a manager, and that's why a manager is so important these days.
I love that. Thank you for making this. So that's another reason that it's so important to have both. Managers play an incredibly important function. So coming back to the idea of, when young actors might want to try and stick their toes in the water here, what do you think about what time of year an actor should try and come out to LA for the first time?
I still say summer is a great time to come out and test the waters. There's a lot of Disney and Nickelodeon stuff going on in the summer. There's a lot mm-hmm. of shows that are happening all year round. There's a lot of episodic, and it's a great time to just come out and, like I said, take classes, get into showcases and workshops, and have your agent try to get you out to see people and to audition for things, or to find that agent or that manager that can help you. I am a big proponent of summer.
I think
pilot season is the wrong time to come out and try to get in the business. Once you're established and your agent says come out for pilot season, you listen to them and you do that. But mm-hmm. you don't just come out here for pilot season and try to break into the business. That's ludicrous. No, it is. It really is. And I hate it when I hear people saying, I'm going to come out to Hollywood for pilot season, and I know, my kid's going to get a pilot. Hello, I have an actor who has been on Ray Donovan, Criminal Minds, and Modern Family. He got one pilot audition this year, okay? One. That's how crazy competitive it is here, okay? So, no, you're not going to come out here right away and your kid's going to start going out for pilot bookings. It's not reasonable to think that.
Well, and even say you're insanely, insanely unheard of lucky, and you come out here for the first time and a miracle occurs and somehow you sign with an agent. It's like, okay, the agent, you have nothing on your kid's IMDb still. Like, the agent has no ammunition to help you get in the door. And they also don't really know you very well yet. Like, how do you do in a room,
Right. You need a clip, too. It's very important, whether it's a commercial clip or a clip from a student film you did or a clip from a web series that you did. Start submitting your kids for things on Actors Access. Get them involved in these little student films and these little projects, because your child needs film. I can't tell you how many kids of mine have been turned down this pilot season for auditions because I didn't have film to send on them. Mm-hmm. And I have begged the parents to get film on them, begged them. There's even services that you can go to that'll create a little reel for you, and some of them are quite good. You have to look at the samples and see if you like them, because some of them aren't good. But I've seen some that are quite good. But you have to have something to put up on your Actors Access. You have to have a little 30 seconds of drama and a little 30 seconds of comedy. It helps so much.
Mm, I'm so glad you brought that up. And I think some acting schools and acting teachers offer that too at some of their classes.
Yeah, some of them do. Some of them do. And there's some that even have like little movie camps over the summer where you make a movie and you're part of a movie, and you can use that for your clip. They're really well done. They're really really professionally put together, and they look good, and you can actually use that for your clip. So do the research and find out these schools that do these little movie camps.
I love that. I love that. Well, this is perfect because this takes us straight into the question of what some of the best things young actors can do to prepare for success before they even come here. What are things that parents can do for their kids to help them be prepared? What are things that kids can do? Where they are right
I
now.
Think they need to be in their school plays. Mm-hmm. I think they need to, you know, check out community theater and try to audition for any community theater that might be around. I think that their parents need to find out if there's a university close to them that's doing making student films and get them involved in student films. These are all things you can be doing where you live. You don't have to be in Hollywood to do these things.
Well, and student films give you a clip.
Yeah, absolutely. Yay. And usually it's pretty darn good. Especially if it's a graduate thesis project. Those are the ones that I really highly recommend. If it's a graduate thesis project, that means the kids have gotten to a certain point where their work is exceptional.
I love that. That's a distinction no one has ever drawn from me. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
I love to hear you say community theater, too, because I am passionate about what great training community theater can be for kids, because in part, if they're going to be doing, you know, film and television, they're not going to be doing film and television with a cast that's all their age.
Right.
This is where a school play is like, okay, that's great. But community theater, you might be on a stage with somebody who's your parents' age and somebody
right.
who's your grandfather's age. And
right.
Somebody who's, you know, like.
Or a baby.
Or a baby.
You never
right?
know. Yeah, right, exactly.
It's like real life.
That's real life.
And you get a chance to learn how to work with peers who are all ages, and I think there's something very special about that as well.
Yeah,
as
I think community theater
training.
Is great if you can mm-hmm. if you can get involved in it. I think it's a wonderful resource.
Now, any other advice for young actors and their parents, especially as it relates to the actor-agent relationship?
No, I think I pretty much covered it all. Just, you know, don't barrage your agent with ridiculous requests and don't email them every day and don't call them on the phone unless it's an emergency and you're late for an audition and you can't make it. You know, be very discriminatory about how you call your agent and when you call your agent, because you don't want to cry wolf. Sometimes I have people that bother me so much that when they call me, I just turn it off because they mm-hmm. call me too much and they bother me too much. And I don't take their call with any sort of urgency because they call all the time. So, you know, it's like that old, you know, that old adage of don't cry wolf. Don't mm-hmm. cry wolf with your agent, you know, be smart. Talk to your manager about most of the questions you have and save your agent for the really big questions that you might have that are very important to you.
I love that because your agent is out there working for your kid already. And if they had something, you know, to share with you, they'd be sharing it.
Exactly. And, you know, I get these emails all the time. Why hasn't my child gone out lately? Well, I'm submitting your child every day and I have no control over who's going to call them in and who's not going to call them in. And if after a while you're, you know, frustrated that you're not going out enough, I'm more than happy to, you know, explain to you why that's happening. And also, if it's not to your liking, the door is open and you can leave. That's my particular feeling about it. If someone is very unhappy, they don't think they're going out enough, or they feel that they're shortchanged in some way, I say, hey, there's the door. I'm doing the best I can. I can't force people to see you. I had a manager send me an email the other day who said, you know, copied me on an email to a client. I'm sorry, I have to release your daughter. I think you're a wonderful family, but I've submitted her 200 times and she has not, no one has wanted to see her.
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I think she might have exaggerated a little. I don't think it was 200 times. But, I mean, you know, that happens. And sometimes, you know, I would ask a question, maybe the pictures aren't working. You know, maybe there needs to be a clip. Maybe, you know, you need to have a better package put together, because we are only as good as the tools that you provide us. So if you're just giving us a mediocre picture, you're not going to get in. We need an incredible picture. And again, you can't spend $100 and get a good headshot. Sorry, doesn't work that way. You get what you pay for. So the more money you pay, usually the better the pictures are, that's where you're going to be at getting, those pictures are going to be successful at getting your child in for an audition.
Well, and headshots are everything. Headshots are the first thing the casting directors look at, and if it's a no, they don't even look at the resume. It's like,
yeah, you need personality. People don't get it. They send these pictures to me where their child is just staring into the camera with no expression on their face. I'm like, what is this? You're not going to get anything with this. You need personality. We need to see how fun they are, and the casting director needs to look at that picture and go, oh, I've got to have that kid in my office. I want to bring that kid in. You know, that's what you need from a picture.
Yeah, something that just hops off the page. Well, and then, you know, to be fair too, I've seen this. There are seasons where there's just a whole bunch of these and roles for kids. And then there are seasons where it's like, wow, is anybody writing anything for kids?
Yeah, last pilot season was like that. There was very little for kids last pilot season. I think I had two tests the entire pilot season, and it was very frustrating. But this year's a little better. There's more projects for kids, and I've gotten a lot more auditions and callbacks for my kids this year.
That's nice. Well, and again, that's just something that agents just cannot have any control over, the projects, and they're random, and they come in streaks. Well, thank you so much for talking to us today,
welcome.
Robin.
I'm glad to impart whatever I can.
Thanks for listening to this Hometown to Hollywood podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe and tell your friends so they can listen too. This episode was sponsored by my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, which you can find on Amazon. If you like my podcast, you'll probably also enjoy my blog at hollywoodparentsguide.com, where you can subscribe for free and get new information every week to help with your own journey. See you next time.